household about two degrees. Today's date is April the 21st, 2024. The message today is the faith of David. Holy Scriptures. Is verse 16, chapter 12 through the 13th verse, 1 Samuel 31st chapter 1 through the 6th verse, 2 Samuel 3rd, the 1st verse, 2 Samuel 2nd chapter the 1st through. Second Samuel, third chapter. In the first verse. Sorry about that. So I want to talk about David's faith, because David is a very special person here. David was anointed to rule over the Israelites and Judah. So I want to talk about the process for him to be established as the new king. So I'm going to start here at the 16th chapter in the first verse, because Saul had sinned it. Saul committed a crime on behalf of his calling. That was the first king. Saul was the first king that our Heavenly Father had established as king over Israel. However, Saul rejected the command in which was given him by the Father through the prophet Samuel. So here the teaching is holiness, but I'm going to be working in the old. I'm working from the Old Testament. That is now, at this point in time, we live under the gospel. But I won't expound on the word of the Lord and teach about the faith of David and his results, because he was given the victory because he obeyed the command. That's the work of prophecy. So here, David, he's on the scene because Israel need an established king over them for government. For government. We always need leaders for government. So I want to talk based just briefly here on behalf of the work and the faith of David, because David was called and he was established under an anointing. He was installed. He went through an installation. Heavenly Father gave the prophet a command to anoint him another king, because the first one, he to comply with the prophecy that was given to him by the prophet. So here I want to talk here briefly. I do want to explain on behalf of the teaching. When I say the teaching is holiness, I'm speaking on the doctrine that Jesus Christ, the work that Jesus Christ did on the doctrine, meaning teaching. Doctrine is defined as teaching. So I would like to give some definitions of a few words here. Holiness is defined as Jesus Christ, the work that Jesus Christ produced by way of teaching prophetically. So we are those whom follow prophecy. When Jesus Christ speaks to us, we are to comply, meaning to receive the word through where? Through our hearing. Faith comes by hearing, hearing of the word of God. So here, I'm working with the Old Testament. I'm working with the faith of David. But the teaching that I work with is, I say, but the teaching that I work with is for as establishing the faith of the believer is holiness. I want to talk about the establishment in which our Heavenly Father laid down for David. When we are called to do a work, we are under command, not demand. Demand, you can abort a demand because a demand does not have to be completed. So I just want to work here in just a few minutes. I want to go into the work and into the faith that David produced when our Heavenly Father called for David and established him under a process called the pouring of oil. The pouring of oil. This was done over in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not over under the Pentateuch, but I'm under the work that was established by Samuel, the prophet is very important. We need the prophet so that we can get a word from Jesus Christ, because we live under the gospel. We live by the power of the biblical authority for the chosen of Jesus Christ. The teaching is doctrine, and it is holiness. Meaning, I'm speaking on behalf of prophecy. When Jesus speaks to our heart, we ought to comply. But today I'm working with the faith of David. David here have an enemy, which is the first king. The first king was established under the same prophet. Under the same prophet. But the first prophet, he rebelled against Almighty God, because the prophet gave him a command and an assignment here, whereas he was called to be king of a nation. So Saul, what he did, he rebelled, meaning he decided to not to complete the work and the command in which was required of him by the Heavenly Father by way of the work of the prophet. So I'm going to read just a little bit here. I was going to start at the 16th chapter and a few verses over there, but I'm going to start over here at the 15th verse. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken, meaning to listen, the word hearken, H-E-A-R-K-E-N, is defined as listen, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. So here, Samuel is giving Saul the opportunity to receive the king. the king's office, because our Heavenly Father is establishing a government over Israel. So Samuel is here giving Saul instruction. Which is Israel. Second verse. So Samuel is receiving a word from our Heavenly Father here. Second verse. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. So the Amalekites had been at war and had bruised the nation. So our Heavenly Father is here. He's establishing a king so that Israel can get revenge, so that our Heavenly Father can give Israel justification on behalf of how the Amalekites had bruised them and had fought them. Second verse, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Now this is Samuel prophesying to Saul, because our Heavenly Father has given Samuel a word to establish Saul as king. And he's given him a work to do. So when we're going to accept an ordination and when we're going to accept an ordination, we have work to do. So that work is not to be rejected at no point in time. So here, second verse, I'm going to read over this once again. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek, he's talking about a nation. He's talking about a kingdom, did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Third verse, now go and smite Amalek. He's talking about a king, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. So the Lord wants everyone in that kingdom and under that government to get his judgment on behalf of what was done to his people, to his nation. But guess what he did? He chose a king to rule and to establish a government so that war could go and be established, so that not established, but order. Fourth verse, the people together and numbered them and telling them 200 proceed what is ordained by our Heavenly Father. So, as Saul was being established, he was being established how? By our Heavenly Father. Through whom? The prophets. So if he does not comply, then he denied the Lord. So there's no need for that man to continue in that government on behalf of the work that our Heavenly Father had called him to do, because he did not do it. So I'm going to read another some over here on the 15th chapter, 1 Samuel. So I'm going to skip over here to the 19th verse. No, the 18th verse. No, the 17th verse. And Samuel said, "When was thou little in thine own sight? Was thou not made the head of the tribes?" So Saul had always been a leader, but here Saul has disobeyed the Lord. So now he's getting ready to lose all of his privileges because he denied the Lord the privilege to work with him in the kingdom of his people. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed." So our Heavenly Father had given Saul had given him a work to do. So he did some of the work, but he did not complete the work. He did not follow through with the command of the assignment by way of what the prophet had prophesied to him from our Heavenly Father. So a prophet is not there just to be talking. That prophet is there so that when our Heavenly Father speaks, then he's speaking to a man and he expects for that man to take that work and complete it. Okay, so here, so Saul refused, he rejected the Lord. 19 verse, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" So when we don't do what the Lord say do, by prophecy, when we don't comply with prophecy, when Jesus Christ speaks to our heart, and I'm working over here in the Old Testament, I'm working with the faith of David. However, prophecy is to be complied with and to be accepted and to be made a part of our life when we receive it, if we decide we want to comply. So if we don't, then that means that we denied the Lord. That means that we don't have a way to accomplish the very judgment that the Lord have there for us if we don't comply. 19 verse, "Wherefore then didst thou obey the voice of the Lord?" Wherefore, I'm going to read this 19th verse all over again. "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" 20th verse, "And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." So he's here speaking to the prophet as though he's speaking to a regular man. But Samuel is not a regular man, he's a prophet. And he have obeyed the Lord and given an assignment to Saul. 21st verse, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things, should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord in." So he incompleted the command in which our Heavenly Father had given Samuel to give him. Samuel did his part. He did as the Lord commanded him. He gave Saul the assignment, because he poured oil on him, on his head, to establish him in a place where we receive an anointed, when we receive an ordination. We call it an ordination today, but at that time, the Lord was having oil poured on the head of those kings that he wanted to be established to rule over his people, because he wanted to give his people the blessings, and he wanted his people to receive of the promises that he have in his judgment and in his heart. 22nd verse. And Samuel said, have the Lord as have, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken means to listen, than the fat of rams. So Saul, he did some of the work, but he failed to complete the work. So I'm going to come down, I'm going to skip down here to the chapter 16. So here Saul is, he is in disobedience. He wants to repent. But at this point in time, there is no forgiveness for what he has done. He has committed a crime. He denied our Heavenly Father the privilege to obey the words of the prophet. The words of the prophet is very important. Our life is connected to those words. So when we get a word on behalf of a word from a prophet, we are to comply when we know it is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us. But I'm not over here where Christ's work is. I'm over here where Christ has not arrived yet. He has not arrived on the scene yet, but it has already been spoken about him, about the new prophet. But here, Samuel is giving, he's rebuking Saul, because Saul have sinned, meaning he has committed a crime. So when we don't do what the Lord said do, then that's committing a crime. That means that we are in a place where we can receive the Lord's judgment against us. So we don't ever want to do that, but we do have a freedom of choice. So here, Saul, he rejected the Lord. Okay. So I want to read down here just a little bit further. So we are not to treat the prophet as though that is a regular man, that is a person that the Lord works with. Give him a word, or give her a word, the prophetess or the prophet, give them a word of direction and assignment. But Saul, he rejected him. So here, the 23rd verse, I was going to read this, but I'm going to read this. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So now Saul is in a place which is in the dark. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. So Saul had lost his privilege for the kingdom and for the office of king to rule. So there was no need for no forgiveness for Saul, because Saul had rejected the Lord. when he did complete all of the assignment that was given him by the prophets. So now Saul is getting a judgment from our Heavenly Father because he left the Lord. He left him. He left the command which was given him by the prophet. He abandoned the Lord. So now there's no need for him to have that job still there. So here he rejected the Lord and the Lord rejected him. So now he no longer has a, now he no longer have a, any authority to rule as king over Israel. I'm skipping that a little bit. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. He mourned for him because he knew that Saul had destroyed himself. He had destroyed all of his privileges because he had denied the Lord the privilege to complete the work. So Samuel is saddened for Saul. So I'm going to read this once again. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king of Israel. 16 chapter, the first verse. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning? So Saul don't have no more privileges to be in the government. Privileges, wealth, that work, which was an assignment that our Heavenly Father gave Samuel to give to Saul. So here our Heavenly Father is getting ready to anoint another king. Let me read this once again. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected he will kill me. And the Lord said, take and hide with thee and say, I am coming to sacrifice to the Lord. So the Lord didn't answer that because a man is dangerous when a man is deadly when he's privileged to work the way the Lord commanded him, but not unto the Lord. So he was explaining to the Lord, now Lord, you want me to go and anoint another king. Now this man is dangerous. He left you so he could come try to kill me. Some men do, because some men want to be in power. Regardless, didn't answer Samuel concerning his concern about what Saul would do about him, because if Saul fight the Lord's word, then the Lord have a special judgment there for him. And not only for him, for all of us. So I'm going to run down, skipping some scripture. You can read the rest later. The 11th verse. I'm still working with the chapter. All
and he said, yet the youngest, the whole community, and some of the youngest,
I hear all thy children, and he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So Samuel is determined to do exactly what the Lord would have him to do. 12th verse, and he sent and brought him in, and withal of a beautiful countenance to look on, And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So the Lord wanted David to be the next king. Now he's just a little boy right now, but he have a calling, and he's already been ordained for king. There is an ordination here. 13 verse, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. 14 verse, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So that's what can happen when we don't do what the Lord said. He can give us a privilege. He can give us an assignment to work by way of the work that he commanded from the mouth of the prophet of prophets. And if we don't do it, then we are given access to the Lord to relieve us and turn us over to the devil. So here Saul, he's evil, because now he have the judgment of the Lord against him. And so now he have given access to sin. 15 verse, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. So the Lord still had a way out for him on behalf of the evil spirit, because his judgment is not complete yet for Saul. So I'm going to go over to 1 Samuel, the 31st chapter. So when we have an assignment from Jesus Christ, our Lord, we are to comply. So that we suffer and a loss. Because we can suffer loss, we can lose our privileges not doing what the Lord would have us to do. 1 Samuel, the 31st verse. Now the Philistine fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines. That's one. And Abimelech and Melchishua, that was his sons, that was all three of his children. So his house is falling. Saul's sons, and the battle went sore. So Saul was losing the fight. Why? Because Saul had been battling against David because he refused to obey the Lord. Then he refused to transfer the crown. He refused to transfer the crown, so he was battling against David. He fought against David, meaning he was fighting against Almighty God. He was fighting against the word of the Lord. So now this is the results that Saul received, because Saul also went to the witch over behind the mountain, because he had heard from it. I don't have time to go through those scriptures yet. So I'm almost about to close here. So here, the third verse, and the battle went sore against Saul. Why? Why was the battle against Saul? The battle was against Saul because he shouldn't have been in that fight, because he had no more authority to protect Israel. He had no anointing. He was out of order. He was in a battle without the power of the word of God, without the power of our Heavenly Father, by way of the word that was in the work that was given him by the prophet. So the fight was against him, and he had no way to win that battle because he wasn't supposed to be in that battle. He was in that battle outside of the authority of the work that was given him to do. So he was losing the fight because he had been battling against the word of God in David's life. So here Saul is in trouble. Why? Because he's not supposed to be in that fight. He don't have any authority to be in that fight. He don't have any reason to be in that fight. So he's supposed to lose this fight because he battled up against our Heavenly Father. Third verse, and the battle went sore against Saul and the archers. Who is the archers? This is over in the Old Testament, but the word is still good. Why? Because this word was established by our Heavenly Father. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer. Who is the armor bearer? That's one of his security people. He was the ex-king. So now he's miserable. He is falling. Now he wants to die. He didn't have to die, but the fact that he denied our Heavenly Father through way of the work of the prophet to obey the Lord with the work that was given to him, he don't have any power. So now he is miserable. He is falling like he's supposed to, because he was not supposed to fight David. He did battle. He sought David. He assigned a whole army against David. He went after David to assassinate him. He was unable to do it because our Heavenly Father kept giving David a way out so that David would not be killed. But Saul went out to him to kill him, and he did battle for long periods of time against David to force David out of the crown and out of the privileges that had been given unto him by the prophet through way of our Heavenly Father on behalf of the kingship for the office of king. So Saul was fighting him. So now he's in a fight with the devil, which is the enemies. Now he wants his armor bearer, one of his security men, to kill him. Four verse. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thirst me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was so afraid. Therefore, Saul took a sword and fell on, so he killed himself because he had sinned to that extent. He had completed that sin. So the Bible tells us when a man complete a process, if a man completes sin, then that man shall die. Fifth verse, and when his armor bearer, that was one of his security men, saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So his armor bearer, he killed himself too, because he didn't have no more cover. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all of his men that same day together. So his whole army fell because Saul was warring against David being the next king, when our Heavenly Father had given David that call, and David answered it, and David is now ready to be anointed king, although he was in a terrible, terrible war at one time with the first king. So let's run on over here to the Second Samuel. I'm moving kind of fast here because I'm getting ready to close. Second Samuel, where David is about to get the news. David is about to get the news about the death of Saul, because Saul produced complete sin. He caused his whole army to fall. So it's good to know whom you're following. And if they are in sin, make a decision. Don't follow that man. We need to make a decision not to follow a man or a woman when they are in sin. So here, I want to read here this 2 Samuel, the first verse. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had about 2 days in Ziklag. So he had been over there 2 days because he was doing battle against the Amalekites. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell on the earth and did obeisance, because David had now accomplished the kingdom. He had accomplished the crown. Why? Because he worked and he was obedient to our Heavenly Father on behalf of the anointing, the ordination, the oil point to establish him as king. Third verse, and David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. So this particular person was escaped. Why? So David could get the good news. But David didn't consider it as good news. I'm going to read down just a little bit further. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and men are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his sons, are dead also, because Saul completed. That's why his family fell, army fell, because David is the next king, and it is time for David to be established. Said, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan is his son be dead? Sixth verse, And the young man him said, as I happened by chance, Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and the horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw him and called unto him and called unto me. And I answered, here am I. 8 verse, and he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon. So he was begging his, lost his family. He lost everything because he denied, because he disobeyed the Lord for the work that he called him to do. Anguish is come upon me because my life is in me. So I stood upon him and slew him because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and have brought, took the crown because David is now the next king. 11th verse. Then David his and all the men that were with him. So now David is the grief. 12th verse. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. So David is such a great man. He loved Saul, so he grieved over him. So I'm getting ready to close here in just a moment. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go? Second verse. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, and Ahinoam, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him. Did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelled in the city of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. So Saul had to die. He had to die because he continued to develop that sin. When it was completed, then he fell, him and his army and his family. Third chapter of this, 2 Samuel, third chapter. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Why? Saul waxed weak because Saul was not supposed to be in power. That could happen. And plus, Saul waxed weaker because Saul was in sin. So I'm going to get ready to close here. I want to get ready to close here, and I want to run over here. I'm getting ready to close in just a second. So I want to do some more. I would like to do some more work later on behalf of the faith of David. So David got the victory. Why? Because David obeyed the Lord, completed all of the work. When he did that, he lived. And he accomplished the crown to rule over Judah. this is how the word is giving us understanding. He ruling, he's got the crown now because his enemy fell, which was Saul. Why? Because he denied the Lord. Saul denied the Lord. And David, he accepted the Lord. So his faith developed him the victory. But he still mourned. He was sad about Saul because he respected him and he honored him. So I'm going to run over here to the book of Proverbs. I'm getting ready to close here. So David declares that David was perfect. He walked perfect before our Heavenly Father, except for one sin that he committed, which was with Nabal's wife, which was adultery. But our Heavenly Father did judge David for that sin, and he afterwards that forgave him, and he established him still as a faithful man. So faithfulness is the way that we also in Jesus Christ is to be established. Faithfulness develops our substance, our strength. So I'm going to read here. I'm going to go here on behalf of giving this Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, and the 9th through the 10th. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So this work is established according to Holy Scripture on behalf of the work that David's son established, which was Solomon. This is his wisdom. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Meaning that the first fruit is the first part of our substance. So if I work 5 days or one day or however many days I work, then I am to develop what? Substance. So this is what the writer is introducing us to and instructing us to do. If we're following, because our Heavenly Father is honoring the work that I'm doing. So the first fruits is the first part of whatever one may have produced during the time of their labor. Some can give $100, some can give, it depends on your budget. However, the writer is introducing us to give according to the first fruits. 10th verse, so shall thy barns B-R-N-S. So now the writer's telling us, speaking on behalf of a place where our substance can be stored and increase. So we're expecting to grow when we give. We don't just give out of our labor and don't expect to increase in the word of God, in the Lord. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So there's a place where we are going to grow in our substance, according to the word of God, have a place to grow, which is the barn. And so now we have a promise here, after that we give. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So when we are faithful, when we are given a word from the mouth of the prophet, the pastor, or the teacher, and we are faithful to perform that word. David performed all that our Heavenly Father did give him through the mouth of the prophet to work. So that's why he was developed out of all that trouble, because Saul, he fought with David for a long period of time. And when he completed all that sin that he did against David's house, he fell. Why? Because he completed the sin. The Bible said when a man completes sin, that man shall die. And also if we complete his righteous works, then we shall live. Okay, so I'm closing now. So remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And love yourself the same way. And love your neighbor as you do yourself.